So the papacy fits as a portion of this picture. But this thing is so big that just as you can't blame everything that ever happened on the Medo-Persian Empire, it was one passing phase of it. And for a time, it carried out the satanic purpose of rule over many nations. And you can't say that everything wrong that ever happened or ever will happen is the fault of Alexander the Great. He was simply one of the cogs in the machine. And the same is true of the papacy. It is one of the cogs in the total satanic machine. Now, you notice when the book of Revelation, when you get on to the 18th chapter particularly, starts talking about the final fall of Great Babylon. It doesn't say a word about religion or religious corruption. What it talks about is the economic phase of it, right straight down the line. Now, during the early periods through the Roman Empire, the military political phase of the great Babylonian system ruled the world. During the Middle Ages, the religious phase of the great Babylonian system ruled the world. And when you get out of the Middle Ages and into ours, say beginning in the 1700s, the financial and economic phase of the Babylonian system rules the world. They are all part of the same system. In other words, you can say the same hand has picked up three different clubs to beat us with. But the clubs are not the total enemy we face. It's the hand that wields those clubs, and which is bigger than any of its weapons. So, without undertaking to defend the erroneous doctrines of the Catholic Church, and without undertaking to defend its utterly murderous career over many centuries when it brutally murdered several million Christian martyrs, far more than pagan Rome ever did. Nevertheless, you can't blame all this on the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church is only a portion of the evils of this system. Just as today, the Protestant churches, in the main, are being taken over and used by part of this, by this satanic system, as part of their method to corrupt and destroy us. Look at the way communism is taking over the Methodist Church, for example. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him, and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceives them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now this second beast is as much a satanic manifestation and as much bigger than any of these little individual kingdoms as the first. It is part of the complete satanic kingdom. And while it has corrupted and used the Catholic Church in part, the second beast, just like the first beast, is far bigger than the Catholic Church. And he had power to give... Well, he's saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Well, as I say, the Catholic Church can't complete the role of this second beast any more than the first. It doesn't fit the papacy. While the papacy undoubtedly created the Holy Roman Empire, this was not the image of the beast. This was just the healing of the deadly wound of one of the heads. The Catholic Church did not create the United Nations. It was the same satanic power that corrupts and uses the papacy, which corrupted and used our own government in the creation of the United Nations. So, the satanic power then demanded that an image of the first beast be created, not an image of just the Roman Empire. Remember, the first beast was Satan's total world rule. And the United Nations were created to be an image of that, to be a total worldwide rule over all nations. It had power to make the image of the beast speak. The various resolutions and conventions and so forth of the United Nations, where it speaks these various commands that the nations are obligated to follow, and causes that as many as should not worship, as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Well, that's already gone into effect in part. Remember what they did in Katanga on the breakup of the Congo? When satanic power compelled Belgium to turn these cannibal savages loose in the Congo, none of them had shown any ability to govern one of the small, many warring tribes that made up the Congo. And yet the entire Congo was turned loose with these cannibals running it. Many of them had never even learned to wear shoes yet, much less to run a nation. Now, there was only one part of the Congo that showed signs of stability and keeping some semblance of civilization when the rest of it was breaking down into general anarchy and cannibalism. And that was the province of the Congo under Moise Tshombe. So what did the UN do? They sent in United Nations troops, largely from Sweden and Ireland, in a brutal attack on Katanga, overthrowing his government, and incidentally their air force bombing well-marked hospitals, by the way. Everything that we have generally falsely accused Germany of doing as an atrocity was actually repeated by the United Nations Army there in Katanga, and somehow they got praise for it. Now what are they trying to do in Rhodesia and South Africa? Remember, they've already passed resolutions commanding the British to send an army in there and by force overthrow the white government in Rhodesia and put the cannibals in power. Well, as we know, Britain is corrupted today to a degree equal to Rome at its worst. And they may do it. Similar threats have been made against South Africa. Now, Rhodesia may have had Negroes there before the white man came, but don't let anybody tell you the falsehood that the white man went in and took South Africa away from the Negroes, because he didn't. There was not a single Negro in South Africa when the whites went in and settled it. There was a very small handful of widely scattered, purely nomadic bushmen of a low subhuman type, something like the Australian bushman there, and no Negroes. And the whites settled it and began improving it, laying out their farms, digging the mines, and so forth, prospecting, improving the country, before the first Negro drifted in from the north. Then Negro tribes began drifting in. They killed and ate the Bushmen. It's doubtful if there's one survivor of the Bushmen now. So all the Negroes in South Africa are Johnny-come-latelys who went into a white man's country, not in lawful immigration, but in an unlawful entry. So they're not in the position to say, white man, go home and leave us our country, because it isn't their country. It never was their country. Nevertheless, the United Nations is trying to overthrow white civilization there, as it is everywhere else. Then one more thing it says it was doing. That no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Well, this is already going into effect to the extent they've had the power. Remember what they've done with Rhodesia? They have already, by resolution, commanded all nations to completely boycott Rhodesia. Neither buy any of Rhodesia's products for export, nor sell Rhodesia anything. And our own traders in Washington are going along with that, as is England. The only country that is giving any supplies to Rhodesia, selling them right now, really is South Africa. Maybe a little trickle is coming in from the Eastern African Portuguese territory of Mozambique. But the rest of the white nations are going along with this thing, part of this beast organization. It was Jews dominating the rest of the world who set up this strangulation boycott against Germany. They're setting it up now to do the same thing here. And when the boycott alone isn't successful, then they follow it up with war. So now, none may be able to buy or sell save those that have the mark of the beast. In John's day, slaves were marked with either branding or tattooing. And soldiers of some armies were also tattooed with the mark, so if they were deserters, they'd be easy to find and capture. Sometimes that brand was put on the forehead so that everybody could see it, sometimes on the hand. So it was a simple thing to use as a symbol here. But it's more than just merely the following of an ancient custom. This mark on the forehead signifies their control over the products of the mind, and the mark on the hand, the products of our physical work. Now, how are they going to accomplish this? The traitors in our government have already deliberately brought us to a point where our money system is ready for collapse, as we know. And you've already read in the newspapers some of the trial balloons they've sent up, releases of statements by various public officials that there is need for a worldwide United Nations money system. And so far, our people haven't been ready to take that. The collapse hasn't swept our money into worthlessness yet, and we say we're not interested in getting Congolese money from the United Nations in place of our, so far, best money in the world. But this United Nations world money is to supersede all national currencies. Now, when they bring about the internal collapse of our system here, which can be done very easily, in the first place, outside of chicken feed, you're less than $1 coinage. You don't have any true money. I'm not even talking about good money, I'm just talking about money. 25-cent pieces, which are copper with a very thin layer of a copper-nickel alloy on the front and back of them to give them a shiny look. The dime of greatly reduced silver content. the 5-cent piece, which is actually more valuable than your 25-cent piece intrinsically, because the amount of nickel in it makes it worth more than the copper in your 25-cent piece, and the bronze penny. You can't get a $1 bill, much less anything bigger, which is United States government money. All you can get is Federal Reserve Bank notes, which are nothing but the IOU of a private banking institution. Instead of the American government creating its own money, which the Constitution commands it to do, they have treacherously and traitorously handed that function over in its entirety from the dollar bill and up to a private banking institution. And money only comes into existence to the extent that the bankers making up the Federal Reserve Board decree that there shall be money. And for the rest, there is no money. There is only bank credit created by pen and ink making an entry in their books. And any time the Federal Reserve Bank chooses to say, well, we're not going to make any more money, and as far as credit is concerned, you don't get it. No law commands us to issue you any credit. And until we see fit we're not doing it, then what are you going to do? We have no more than 1% of the amount of money that any recognized economic principle requires us to have for our transactions. All the rest is conducted on bank credit, as a matter of fact. They can bring us to total and absolute collapse instantly anytime they choose to spring the trap. Then they'll say the American money system has failed totally, so now the United States has to accept a world money of the UN, which, you know, oddly enough, we've already printed and we have it right at hand, ready to issue. Is it a solution? No. It's a bigger disaster than before. Who decides how much UN money we get? Nobody but the United Nations, where we are already outvoted 125-1. All these other nations are predatory things, wanting to get their hands on American wealth. Do you think they're going to listen to us and take our interests into consideration when it comes to distributing UN money? They will issue to the United States just the minimum amount of money which will permit us to live on a mere coolie labor scale. Bare subsistence, existence, and no more. But they will issue to themselves, these other nations, the cannibals of Africa, the millions of China, Russia, these other nations, they will issue to themselves money in great quantities. Now, if you're going to get the tiny little bit of money they permit us to have, you have to work. You have to produce things of value, and you will not be allowed to have the money with which to buy the products of your own labor, beyond just enough to keep you alive and working. So who has the money to buy the television sets and the automobiles and the refrigerators and so on that you make? You don't. Every Congolese cannibal will have a Frigidaire and a color television set and all that kind of thing, even though everything that he produces in his entire lifetime would not be worth the down payment on any one of these things. But he'll be given it out of UN money. With this, they buy his military support. You see, they plan to disarm us so that we'll be unable to rebel against this thing. Bribing these other nations with our wealth to unite militarily against us, they plan to just keep us in slavery, producing the things they can't produce and which we will not be allowed to enjoy. Now, when that comes to pass, no man could buy nor sell unless he had the mark of the beast. What are you going to buy anything with unless you have UN money? because American money is already gone. It ceased to exist outside of chicken feed. As I say, there's a tiny fraction of 1% of the necessary amount of that. American paper money has ceased to exist. You've got nothing but banknotes, bank IOUs. After it's been repudiated, who's going to take it? You can't buy without the mark of the beast. If you have something worthwhile to sell, what are you going to sell it for? Are you going to take repudiated Federal Reserve notes, which nobody else will take from you? Or are you going to hold out for UN money when you start selling off such things as you have in your home to try to get enough to eat? This is exactly the plan as they've got it set up for us. Now, as preliminary steps to force us into this slavery, we have already the following laws. Public law number 774 of the 81st-82nd Congress, the Defense Production Act of 1950. Public law 920 of the 81st-82nd Congress, the Federal Civil Defense Act of 1950. Third, the Civil Defense Master Plan, perfected under the unlamented Eisenhower administration. Their manual, issued under date of October 1958, with some 42 annexes and supplements to it since then, explains the plan for a total government takeover of all labor and property. Now, you remember during World War II the rationing that we had. Now, as a matter of fact, it didn't even accomplish much of anything. You talk to anyone who was an executive in the plants which were making the necessary military supplies for the government, and they would have told you, as some of them told me, if the government would get off our backs and end this silly rationing system with which we can't buy what we need to fill these orders, we could get in the open market enough materials to turn out the things that the government is contracted to buy from us. And we're delayed months and months and months because their silly rationing system prevents us from getting it. And of course, it did what it was intended to do, to wreck a great many of the civilian industries which had not converted to military production, because it just deprived them of all their raw materials through rationing. So they've got a complete rationing system set up. That's only the beginning. Here's a quote from their Civil Defense, the Office of Civilian Defense booklet, issued under date of December 1958. The extent to which control of the economy will have to be exercised will go far beyond any previous emergency. The matters involved, stated in very general terms, are, first, money matters, particularly actions to reestablish a dependable medium of exchange and a credit structure. You see, sweeping away and abandoning everything we have and setting up a new one by government decree of these bureaucrats, which is the time when they put in the UN money system. Second, control of production. Nothing can be produced except what the bureaucrats allow, because they will commandeer all the machinery of production. Third, control of the distribution of goods and services. Fourth, control over consumption. They will decide just how many pairs of shoes you will be allowed to have per year, and all that kind of thing. And for the rest, sure, we can produce them in quantities greater than we have the capacity to waste. But everything except the bare minimum for mere existence will be siphoned off, so the rest of the world will live high on our slave labor. They talk about the total mobilization of all human and material resources. You will be assigned to the job they want you to have. President Kennedy, in his first 2 years in office, issued over 60 executive orders providing for this total takeover of all control of production and distribution, including slave labor, by assigning you wherever they chose. In other words, if they think you're perhaps a bad influence on your neighbors, they will say, well, we don't have enough dock workers unloading the ships in New Orleans, so you are assigned to be a longshoreman in the port of New Orleans. And, of course, it's gone beyond that. President Johnson has continued the making of further orders, strengthening the details of the tyranny. All this comes into operation whenever the president shall proclaim a state of emergency, which is not limited to war. A Jew, Robert Kintner, formerly head of one of the big broadcasting networks, NBC, I think it was, heads the Office of Defense Resources, and President Johnson has referred to him as my mobilization czar. The law, public law number 452 of the 88th Congress, the so-called anti-poverty bill of 1964, in its first sentence sets out its objectives as to mobilize the human and financial resources of the nation to combat poverty in the United States. Well, you know exactly how they plan to combat poverty. They have made sure that no Democratic lame duck politician need face poverty. And beyond that, they haven't worried. You notice their anti-poverty administration budgets 80% and more of its total funds for administrative expenses, 20% or less to go to the poor people. One of the congressmen has recently produced an official memorandum of the FBI, which speaks of the necessity of brainwashing the citizenry. J. Edgar Hoover is long since past the retirement age. Congress, in fact, had to amend the retirement laws to make a specific exception for him because he's not only past the optional retirement age, he's way past the compulsory retirement age. I think he's 72. He's an old man. He's weary. Out of patriotism alone, he has hung on to a job that he hasn't personally wanted to keep out of any mere pride in what he's doing. But the alternative, if he retired, was the open appointment of Adam Yarmolinsky, the son of two Russian communists, as head of the FBI. And to prevent that from coming into effect, Hoover has hung on. But Hoover has been reduced to a mere figurehead for a long time, because remember that he merely works for the Jew that's just recently been put into the State Department, Katzenbach, and who will unquestionably be replaced by another Jew. You notice that the FBI, for some years now, has ceased to be even slightly annoying to the communists. It has been turned completely into a minor branch of the Russian NKVD with headquarters at Moscow and used only to harass the patriots. So do you see how the trap has been set up to be sprung on us? Now this is what John was given his vision of in these curious symbols. But now don't you think that what was shown to John is a pretty good picture of just what we have today? Book of Revelation is not easy to understand because it's all in symbols. But when you get down and study what these symbols are, they make sense. If you don't go in with preconceived notions that you're going to force the symbol to mean what the official doctrine of the Baptist Church is. If you're going to try to find what the book itself means, these things make sense. Very terrible sense. You remember the other statement, except those days were shortened, none of us would survive. Now do you see exactly what it's working into? Now the picture isn't all black. It would be all black if it were merely a human thing and these people had their way, because our nation as a whole is degenerated to the point where they aren't even futilely indignant about this. They're contented. They say, I never had it so good. I was able to go deeper in debt to get a new color television set. But the same God who warned us about these things, that they were coming upon us, has also said, they are planning this thing without taking me into consideration. And I shall upset their apple cart when the time comes. There is going to be a period when this sort of thing goes into effect. And it's going to be rough, thoroughly rough. But it's not going on to the conclusion they have planned, because God says he will intervene and put a stop to it before it can get that bad. Now, consider the things you have been reading. Not the censored news in your daily papers, though even there they let the cat out of the bag once in a while. But the things you can read in such a publication as U.S. News and World Report, the things that are revealed by a few of the commentators and by Gerald L. K. Smith and some of these things. You find out about them in the Cross and Flag. Now, do you see just where all these things are going? Don't they fit into place perfectly in the pattern? Some of these things didn't seem terrible in themselves until you saw the connection. But these things are like the spokes of a wheel. Sure, each one is separate. Each one starts out at a different point on the rim. Each one goes in a different direction. But they all come together at the same hub in the center. There they are, just as they were shown to John. Well, that's the picture. Now you know what the mark of the beast is going to be and how it's going to work. And it's going to be thoroughly bad. But as Christians, you have the consolation of knowing that this is to be a temporary thing from which you are going to be rescued by the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to take over and run things his way. And not worry about losing the vote of the Negro bloc when he does it.